Sunday night, women's chodesh chavodesh year, or liyud gimel teves, it must be by now, something like that, close to it. Learning chodesh chavodesh, shar habachina, we're starting perek gimel. Oh, we're going back to the beginning of perek gimel. And we've learned what bechina is, examination of anything, of everything, of the world, of the bria. And seeing, using seichel, thinking about it, realizing how much complexity is there, seeing Hashem there, because you see design, tremendous chokhmah, wisdom, purpose, and then so you see Hashem. And then, and also, you will then see the goodness of Hashem. Hodu Hashem ki tov ki liolam chasdo. And even deeper, if it's Ramchal, and really it's almost embedded in the Shar HaBechina of the Chodesh HaLevavos, and then he segues into Shar Avodas HaLokim, that's the next Shar, is that the world was created for Chesed. That's what it says, the beginning is Chesed, the middle is Chesed, the beginning is Gemilas Chasodim, the middle is Gemilas Chasodim, and the Sof is Gemilas Chasodim, that's The whole Bria is a manifestation of Hashem's Chesed, and that's its purpose. Its purpose is that Hashem be a meitiv. One of the major philosophical issues, which we will not deal with today, is always finding a when Hashem does something, like did he have to do it, and would have there been something missing if he wouldn't have done it? Hashem is not chaser. So what do you mean he didn't have to do it? nothing would have been chaser from him. So then why did he do it? So that we don't know. That's really an unsolvable riddle. In Chabad, they quote the phrase Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lios Lo Dira B'Tachtonim. That's like the mantra of Chabad, with the first word being Rotza. He wanted. And they, on Rotza you can ask a question. You know, why do you like chocolate ice cream more than vanilla ice cream? You know, there's no rational reason that you can pinpoint. And anyway, you don't want to tie Hashem, as we explained, to anything rational either, because Hashem is not tied to anything. So that's why Rotza is such a good word, even without the quip of Afarotza in Frekmanish Kinshalus. You don't ask a question on a Rotzon, but because by nature it's a Rotzon. But the deeper explanation is that there's no other way to understand anything that Hashem does other than to say he wanted to do it. Because to say he did it, and the Svarim, I'm aware that the Svarim do talk about why he did it. He did it to do chesed, he did it to be a meitiv, he did it to be mashpia, you know, but you have to be careful always not to think that there would have been anything chaser, chas v'shalom, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wholeness, shleimus, echad, chas v'shalom, if he wouldn't have. He didn't have to do anything, we assume. I mean, it's part of his nature to be mativ, so he did this. Okay, but you see that and experience it through Bechina. Now, Shara Bechina, if I have to have time, though, I have to find the time, is again, everything he goes through now is, you know, there's things he says which are going to be very quaint. If you know any science at all, it's quaint, it's outdated, it's archaic. There's no big theological arguments. Obviously, the Chodesh HaLevavos went, you know, you could talk about Chazal and the Gemara. We can have blog after blog after blog shouting at each other about the Chazal knew science, made mistakes in science because they knew the science of their day. I don't I don't want to talk about it. I mean, if you want to know my opinion, my opinion is that with more free thinkers. And there's nothing to embarrass about. What's wrong with saying it? I don't know. As you said, I call this from Moshe Shapiro in his forum is very, very strong that they knew everything. And if today we look at it that they're wrong, that they're scientifically wrong, so either okay, that's what we say today, looking back 2,000 years, but you know, there's gonna be a 2,000 years from now, and they may look back at us and laugh at us for thinking these silly things. Just like they used to think the ether existed in the world, right? The Ramban talks about it. ETHER. I don't even know what it is. It's so outdated. But until relatively recently, they thought that there was, because they didn't understand how sound travels. They had a whole. They theorized, they speculated. So much of science is speculation and theory that's presented as fact that. And there's nothing wrong with it. You know, this is how they see things now. You know, I'm just so. It's an approach that just as we laugh at anybody, you know, at what they thought, so they, in 1,000 years people are going to laugh at us. That's all. That's the nature of science. So there's nothing. That's one. And it'll turn out Chazal were right, and whatever. Or you take a more morale type approach. And saying that they were not talking about the reality of the physical world, they were talking about ideas, and they were talking about they're talking like in the riddles, you know. Just like we understand when it says the Shemesh said to Hashem, so everybody understands that the Shemesh doesn't have a mouth and it didn't talk. It means. Actually, we don't know what it means exactly, no, because in some places it says there's a Sar Shel Shemesh, the Malach that's in charge of the force, the Malach that's in charge of that. The Maral always goes deeper. He has a different way of saying it. He says it just means that if the Shemesh could talk, this is what it would say. There was not even such a conversation. There was never such a conversation. It means in the forces of the universe, this dynamic existed, where Al-Pi, this force, this should have happened, and Chazal described that as the Shemesh said. But that's just the way they described it. But move on, the Shemesh didn't talk. And right, so these are different Mahalchim. And then there's another halach that Chazal ought to be taken literally, and now we look at them as being wrong in scientific matters. This is a matter over which much bittelsman has ensued, and everybody talks about it. The blogs are full of this big machlokas here. I admit I'm a free thinker, but it really doesn't matter. What I really think is that it doesn't matter, and it's a waste of time. Almost to talk about it, except if you meet someone that says, "I can't become frum because it says in the Gemara that the sun goes around the earth." I don't know. If you meet such a person, then you have to know what to answer him. But otherwise, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't make you a better person. It doesn't make you serve Hashem better. Go sit down to a man. I would say go sit down and learn a piece of Gemara. It'll do you more good than all these theories in the world. It's a waste of time. It just takes you away from Hashem. It doesn't increase anyone's emunah. Anyway, but certainly when we learn Chavis Halvavis and we learn Shara HaBechina, and he says, "Wow, look at the," and he describes as he will soon. I mean, 90% of the things he says are still true, and. Not only are they true, but we could and this is what I want to do if I have time, you know, with a little research and a little Googling, we could like write, whatever he writes about, we could write tenfold, 100-fold, because we know so much more. And if he says you should be in a total state of rapture because of the way blood vessels work and the way the blood carries nutrients throughout the body, we, you know... we know it so much more than he did. We could describe it so much with so much more detail, and we could give names to chromosomes. We could give names to the genetics. Like, they could name the things in the cell. They have names for it, and then there's billions of things, billions of. So if I have time, but okay. Anyway, so that's Paragimel. Ach, ech ofani habchina bebruim. How to do bechina? How to do this trick that we're talking about? Nomar. So he's going to teach us. He's going to teach you like scientific thought, how to look at something, how to analyze it in a way that'll make you appreciate it. Nomar ki habchina bebruim he ho'iyun bepinos ha'olam. You study the basic building blocks of the world, the toldos sehem, and what results hamchuboros mehen when they combined, because you combine different elements and they form things. Ubetrunos chelke kol murkov, and the nature of every component. The components of every, you know, things, and what components combine to make up that thing, and what the nature, the tchuna, the quality, the nature of each part. It's like if saying you look at a building, and then you look at what all the parts of the building, and then you examine the quality of each part, the wiring and the bricks and the foundation and the cement and the, right? You see how complicated it is. You can have a problem, and then all of a sudden you see the building is full of parts. Volfani to alto is, you know, again, I can't do justice to Shar HaBechina. He wants us to look at a flower and take out a botany book and study the parts of a flower and how they all come together to make the flower. And how each ofani toalto means how each part plays a role in the flower. This part gives the flower its food, and this part gives it its beautiful look, and this part gives it its smell.
Maybe this should be our homework. You know,
what?
Maybe this should be our homework. We should all.
Yeah, it would be wonderful. I should do it, but I don't know if I have time. It's overwhelming, and really. Yeah, and he says you're mechuyev to do it. He says this is every person's responsibility to do it, because through this you see Hashem. Through this you recognize Hashem. So let's learn even what he said, and keep remembering this was written over 1,000 years ago. Bofani to alto. I mean, if you examine anything, examine the human eye, the ear, anything. It has, and now we know so much more than he did. All of its moving parts and how each one. If he wants you to see how each component plays a role in the whole thing, and it's unbelievable how they work together. And this is the biggest argument of for Hashem. You know, he says, like, how does the wind know that it all works together? The sunshine and the wind and the rain and the soil and the atmosphere, and they all work together to grow food for the world. But they have to work together. Everything has to be in the right place at the right time, or it's not going to work.
I read the most amazing thing, that coral creates its own sunscreen, and the fish who eat the coral on the surface get the benefit of that sunscreen themselves. So now scientists are trying to, like, pinpoint how that the coral can make its own sunscreen that can be digestible and take it in and serves a sunscreen to the fish.
I digest the sunscreen. I'm not sun sensitive anymore. I'm serious, by the way.
Really?
I'll tell you afterwards, yeah.
The simone hachochma bebriyaso, and seeing the wisdom of Hashem in His creation, uvmaskunoso, udmuso, v'takonoso, really, these are all like analysis of things, the content and how it looks, and it looks nice, and it works together, and what makes it work, and how you fix it. V'iloso atmimo asher lo nivra. Then he says an interesting thing. V'hakoras ruchnius. V'hakoras ruchnius ha'olam hazeh. the Gashmuso. So what it's almost poetic. He says everything has a soul. Everything has a spiritual aspect to it also. As I told you, everything, and really when you learn Maral, I don't know what the Chavis HaLevavos exactly meant. He might have meant it has a spiritual side to it because it connects you to the Almighty. It connects you to Hashem. And that's its spiritual side. You know, everything in the world has a spiritual angle to it, and that is that Hashem allows it or has it be a link to Him. Everything is linked to Hashem. Just like we have a neshama, and that's our link to Hashem. So the flower has a link to Hashem. I don't know if I would call it a neshama, but it has a ruchniyustika angle to it, because everything is a kli, like the pasuk that the very, very, very last Mishnah in Perek Vav of Pirkei Avos says, everything Hashem created was l'chvodo, right? Hashem creates everything to be linked. Now we could appreciate the word linked, right? Mm-hmm. You click on it and it links you to Hashem. Mm-hmm. Everything links you to Hashem. That's its spiritual side. And everything in the world was made with that spiritual side. And we don't have to be ashamed. That means really, it's really a very inspiring. It's very musardic. Everything in the world is here, must be a link to Hashem in some way, shape, or form. And that's its ruchniyustika side. And he's saying everything has a soul, everything has a ruchniyustika angle, and I believe he means that everything links you to Hashem, and that's its ruchniyustika side.
Is it like a picture links you to the artist, or a piece of music links you to the musician?
Yeah. And as I said last week, I also think it means that everything has a spiritual counterpart. This is especially if you learn Tanya. The Tanya especially keeps talking about that everything that exists in this world is really just the end of a long chain. Hashem did not snap his fingers and say, really, when Hashem said, let there be a tree, right? Totse haaretz desha esav mazriya zera leminehu. It's much more complex than from Hashem to tree. You don't come from Hashem to tree. That's what it means is malachim. Hashem created in the upper worlds a ruchniyustika force which does the equivalent of a tree, you know, and somehow it gives peros out, and it gives nourishment, and it's nice to look at, and then as it becomes more and more gashmi, more and more, there's a chain, and the Tanya says it has thousands of links, because there's 10 madregas of malachim. There's so many spiritual forces, and as you go down, 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 and at the end of the chain, it's a tree. So, there's primary things, I imagine. Then there's what man invents and creates, and I don't know how you determine. It's like words. How do you determine what's a primary word, that its meaning is intrinsic and embedded in the word, or the word is just slapped together by taking different roots and you made up a word, but it doesn't, the word. We know the 70 umos, if you know what I'm talking about. We know that in the world that Hashem made, in terms of spiritual forces in the universe, there are 70 nations. And no matter how many flags are flying in the United Nations, but there's really only 70. And the other ones are just slapped together, right? So in terms of, and there's 70 languages, 70 Lashonos, 70 Umos. So you could have more. So I don't know how many objects there are. I know that if I look at the Beis HaMikdash, so I know there's a Kiseh, there's a Shulchan, and a Menorah, and a Mizbeach. So I know that these things exist as spiritual forces in the upper worlds. I know a kisei does, because we talk about a kisei hakavod, and Hashem is yoshev al kisei kavod malchuso, which really is absurd, right? But it means something. So like the Tanya talks about talking, right? We're learning now on Thursday nights. We're learning Tanya, so we're talking about talking. Hashem talks. Hashem doesn't talk. It's absurd. Hashem doesn't talk. No sound waves. No sound waves that the cochlear hear and they. So what does it mean Hashem talks? So he says, what is talking? And then talking has a spiritual... Talking means I'm revealing my thoughts. So when Hashem reveals himself, he talks. That's what the Pasuk and the Lashon of people, when the Pasuk wants you to understand. So it means Hashem revealed himself to Moshe. And then the Pasuk calls that talking. Because when we talk, we reveal our thoughts. So Hashem revealed. It's like if we wanted to get to the Ruchniyistika definition, we wouldn't say Hashem talked to Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe. We would say Hashem revealed, according to the Tanya, we would say, it's a much more complicated sentence, Hashem revealed one aspect of his godliness to Moshe at this point in time. That's what it means, Hashem spoke to Moshe. Because speaking is revelation. Right, a kisei, shulchan, as you put things, or things have intrinsic. That's why, if I could segue, in halacha, see, I'm convinced of this link. In halacha, in Gemara, we talk about benefiting from things the way they were meant to be benefited from. And if I sit on it, Marshall, if I am not allowed to benefit from this table, I may be allowed to sit on it. If I sit on it, I'm benefiting from it. So there's something called Kederech Hana'oso, the way it's supposed to be benefited from. Now in the modern world, I think I'm right about this, especially in my lifetime, or maybe the last, what's the fellow's name? Kant, whatever it is, however you pronounce it. There's really no such thing anymore as supposed to. Like, what do you mean supposed to? If I choose to sit on a table, so I'm sitting on a table, and I'm benefiting from the table, and that's, like, the world has become, the way I see it, very pragmatic. Like nothing has its intrinsic value anymore. It's just what I do with it, existential. Like if I sit on a table, so I'm sitting on it, so that's it. So what about the halacha that if I make the Torah is not like that. Because if I make a ned there, there's already Torah. So you have to know how to see things in Torah. If the Torah says if I make a ned there not to benefit from a table, I'm allowed to sit on it. That means that a table is meant, the word table, if this be a table, it's meant to serve a certain function in the world. See, but if you don't believe in God, then there's no such thing. Then the sentence makes no sense. Then we say the builder of the table, whatever he wanted it to be, or who cares? You know, I'm sitting on it, so it's just the same as a chair. See, when there's a whole say there in Mishnayos, say the Taharos, maybe you heard of it, Zroim, Moed, Noshim, Taharos, and there's Maseches Kelim, and it talks about things being Mekabel Tumah and things not being Mekabel Tumah, and it's very boring. And it's talking about, you really have to go to the Living Torah Museum in Brooklyn. There's such a thing, if you're ever in America, you have to visit it, Living Torah Museum in Brooklyn, where they have the types of vessels that they use in the time of the Gemara. Because we have plastic cups. they were very complex. They were very ornate and complex. They were, you know. We live, okay, that's already, architecture also changed, it's simple. We like simple lines, clean, glass, iron, I don't know, you know, we don't like ornate things. In the Gemara, like the Caleb, you had a place to put your thumb, and a place to put your cigarette, and a place and a place to put your cup, and a place to do this, and this is, enormously complex. But you see in the dinim of, and it's really a dinim of becoming tor and becoming tameh and becoming tor, that things have intrinsic purposes. And that's like the premise of the whole Masechta, is that, and therefore if it breaks, if it develops a crack in this part of it, it will still be, and now it becomes very Torah-dic, but you have to be sensitive to what message is being taught here. Because you say, if it breaks here, it is Mekabel Tumah still, because it's still a Kli, but if it cracks here, then it's not anymore. So okay, you can learn it. It's a little boring, but okay. But then you say, wait a second, there's really a message here. And there's a message here. And if you delve into it, you can really learn a lot about the Bria by learning these things. It talks about food being Mekabel Tumah. And it talks about food enhancers. And then there's a Mishnah about something that enhances the look of the food, but it's not itself edible. And it's Mekabel Tumah, and it doesn't really fit with the rules. And it only makes sense if you say that part of the appeal of the food is the way it looks. And therefore, it becomes part and parcel of the food. And then I talked to Chef Herschel from Eish HaTorah. He's my food maven. And he said, absolutely. He laughed at me for not realizing that. When they serve you food in a restaurant, there's a whole game plan of the color and texture and the way it looks and the way it's presented. Oh, it's so expensive, he says. And you're wondering why it's so expensive. The portion is so small. But the way they put... I happen to be extremely non-sensitive to this. They put the leaf a certain way. I went to the Art Scroll, the retreat for Shabbos. So they had like the presentation of the food. My wife was with me. So I said, like the presentation was so, so it's not choshev, but it exists. It's like it's true. It's something in the Bria. And if it's in the, you see, and this is an important, it's Musar, and it's somewhat Hasidic, especially Chabad. This sentence that everything has a soul. It's really, the Baal Shem Tov really, from my understanding of Torah Baal Shem Tov, he really brought that back into practice. There's nothing in the world that's disgusting and like, that's outside the pale of the Elokus. And that's really, that's that sentence in the Chavis HaLov, everything has a soul. And he's talking about a rock also. Say, well, the rock doesn't have a soul. I don't know what soul means. Iraq was put here for a ruchniyistic purpose. It was put here to connect you to Hashem. Maybe it's once in its existence as Iraq in the 6,000 years of history, a tzaddik will use the rock to tie his shoe on. He'll bend down and it'll help him tie his shoe and he'll be able to go quicker to do his mitzvah. And the rock has fulfilled its purpose, right? And when you make a bracha over a food, the food is now fulfilling its purpose. That's a Beferish Mitzvah tree record. The apple? Mm-hmm. It wanted someone to make a bracha over it. Mitzvah tree? You're not familiar with Mitzvah tree? I'm dealing with Amaratzim. The very famous, one of the first children's records that ever came out was from Amora Blanca in Muncie. And it's called the Mitzvah Tree series. And that was really the first breakthrough where you could ignore your kids and just put them in front of the tape recorder. Now it's much more sophisticated. You got videos. And it tells them a story. You don't have to tell them a bedtime story anymore. You just hit play. No, but I'm all kidding aside, that was really the first breakthrough. So the songs... In my world, in the world, my friends, my world, like so, these are Girsa de Ankusa, it's called, the Mitzvah Tree Records, now. It's almost as good as the Marvelous Midos Machine. Right, after number four came out after a hiatus of 20 years, so they celebrated it with a. Did you read the article in Mishpacha with about A.B. Rottenberg? He must be a very, very chashuv person. I'd like to meet him.
Yeah.
You see a quality person, a thinker, a deep thinker, talented, obviously, but you see he's not stam an entertainer, chas v'shalom. You see he's a deep person, very chashuv a person. Very, you see he's a chashuv a person. So anyway, getting back to the Chavos, he says a sentence, everything has a soul, which is a beautiful thought. Then it's if I said it to someone, like I think of it now as a Hasidic thought, because that's really what the Baal Shem Tov taught and insisted on and had his followers realize. But the Chavos Halevi says it, and he says you're supposed to figure it out by looking at it. So it can mean a lot of things, as I said again. It could mean just as it's a kli to help someone serve Hashem, and that's its purpose. Its purpose might be, if I look at a flower and I do Shar HaBechina, now the flower has fulfilled its purpose. That might have been the flower's purpose. This flower. And it also means it's a link to spiritual forces, as the Tanya says. It's already become really classic Jewish thought. Nothing just exists in this world. Everything has. So what about inventions? I don't know, I'm not sophisticated enough to understand that. I just read an article about Steve Jobs. It says he didn't really invent anything. It's all other people's ideas. But he had this uncanny talent and ability to take like the germ of an idea and make it user-friendly and marketable and make it apply to life and figure out applications where it could be used. And then this article was talking about inventions. It says usually we never heard of the people that really invented the idea, like the concept, the breakthrough of the idea. Most of the time we never heard of. We heard of the people that took it and they made something usable out of it. So I'm saying I don't know when I say everything has a spiritual counterpart. I don't know if I'm talking about. I guess that would be true about the idea. I don't know if the herkiv, once you put it together and combine it with other things, and make it into a usable machine. So I don't know if what you've created now has a spiritual counterpart. Could be that's just taka down here in this world. You slapped something together. Again, you have to, it's like clues. You know, if I look at a chumash and I see that flour goes on the mizbeach and oil goes on the mizbeach, you know, so I know that these are like primary things and they must have spiritual forces. And taka, shemen represents wisdom. See, these types of things, shemen represents wisdom, wine goes on the Mizbeach, so I know that wine is like a primary spiritual force, or else you wouldn't be putting wine on the Mizbeach. So, okay, and the Taka Yayin Yisamach Levev Enosh, animals, that's why we say in Perek Shira. What do you think Perek Shira is? Perek Shira is the ruchniyistic force of all these animals. And if you study Perek Shira, not just use it as a way to get a shidduch or something, but if you study it, by now, in the last 10 years, there must have been five very well done books on Perek Shira. Meaning to take the Pasuk, Perek Shira, take the Pasuk and say, wow, this describes the spiritual essence of each animal, and the animal represents this spiritual force. Like an Ari will represent Gevura. Okay, that everybody can relate to, everybody can understand, that's not especially deep. An Ari is Gvura. A Nomer we know is Az, Azus, Az Kanomer, Kal Kanesher, right? So we know, so that's the spiritual force of an Ari is also Gvura, right? So that's its spiritual force. So everything has a spiritual force. So, just to sum up a lot of rambling, when the Chavis HaLodah says that everything has a spiritual force, he can mean many different things that we talked about now tonight. It could mean it's a link to Hashem, or it could mean it taka is the culmination, the physical culmination of many links of a chain which are spiritual forces in Shemayim. When it says Hashem wears tefillin, you see, it says more brachos Hashem wears tefillin. Have you ever heard that?
Sure.
So obviously it's only tefillin, right? So it means tefillin, even though rather we put together tefillin, we take an animal, a hide, and, you know, it's a whole, we slap it together. It's a lot of work to make a pair of tefillin. But it means a pair of tefillin are an essential primary object, I'll call it primary. It's something that represents something in Shemayim. It's a declaration. So if I say Hashem wears tefillin, and I know he doesn't have his physical tefillin, obviously. So I know tefillin represents a certain ruchniustical force. But that means every component, this is what the Chavis HaLodah wants you to do. It's like, you could spend your whole life doing it on one object, then you probably wouldn't be able to do it. Because that means, look at your tefillin. So you want you to look at the components of the tefillin, which is animal hide, and, right, treated a certain way, and then the ink of the parashios. These are all the components of the tefillin. But that means each of these components have a spiritual aspect to it. And when you put it, because if Hashem wears tefillin, that means he has the equivalent of the bias and the parshios. Bias is the outside casing. So everything is meaningful. Everything has a spiritual counterpart to it. Everything, not just the tefillin, but you know, Hirsch is very good to read. He talks about these things always in Chumash. Hirsch and Chumash, they just. If you're into it, if you like to learn these things, Hirsch will talk about such things always. Whenever there's dinim, he will talk about what it represents spiritually. Kemach is this, an animal is this. Shechting an animal means you're doing this. It's really beautiful. It really makes the mundane world into such a holy place. That's what I mean by Hasidish. It really makes you realize the holiness of everything in the world. Everything's holy. Because I know this table, you see, again, if a man who learns, if I can be sensitive to it, if you learn, always Maseches Kelim. I love Maseches Kelim for that reason. Because it sounds like if I touch the leg, what about a table with three legs? And what about a table with two legs? And will it be Makabel Tumah if it has no legs? And what happens if the table... No. They used to sit when a table with two legs is not Makabel Tumah, because it can't stand. A table with one leg is not Makabel Tumah. A table with no legs is Makabel Tumah, because they used to put it on the floor and eat off of it. Because with no legs, you could again use it as a table. So that's those are dinim, you know, and everything. If you could take apart a table and then you could put it back together, and does the tumor go away? It means all these parts are very meaningful, you know, and they're very Torahic. They're not stam. Pragmatic, practical. It's a little too heavy, I don't know. So we're HaKoros Ruchnius Bolam Azeh B'Gashmuso B'Ilulav B'Omololav, cause and effect. Really, it's such a complicated world out there. Because then things have cause and effect. And the rain makes something grow. And the rain cycle makes it rain. Right, and the evaporation, you know, the whole rain cycle, and like the photosynthesis, everything's like, there's so much going on, and the more you delve into it, the winds are blowing. The Gemara says the winds, without the winds, the world wouldn't exist. So I don't know if they always understood what that means, but now we certainly know that it's true. You know, for the atmosphere, for the breathing, Umedabro v'domamo, things that talk and things that don't talk, v'nocho v'noho, things that move, things that don't move, hakofu v'tzomeach, elyono v'tachtono, to look at all the moving parts of everything and how everything comes together. And now you can talk about water and the H2O molecule, right? H2O molecule, is that the right word? And I get two things have to come together, and it has amazing properties. B'shabore yusale herkivo harkova nechona, and it's put together in the perfect proportion. The sidro sidur mutukan, the way it works the best in the best possible way. Two eyes, we don't ever think that if you had an eye in the back of your head, you'd be better off. If you'd be better off, Hashem would have made an eye in the back of your head. When you have a car, it took a long time for them to figure out that they should put a windshield wiper in the back. It took them a while. And then for like 20 years, it was an accessory. You had to pay for it. Then they figured out, yeah, of course there should be a windshield wiper in the back. Why not? But you should not have an eye in the back of your head. What's the proof? Because you don't have it, right? That means you're better off without it. And you're better off with one mouth. Two ears, two eyes, two nostrils. But we're better off with one mouth. That's a Gemara. And Halavai, it says, really, we should have two. Because we should have one for Divrei Torah and one for Dvarim B'Teilim. But it says we just get into more trouble than we're in already.
Going to say sometimes one is too many.
Right. Well, that you know, one of the themes of the Chavis Halvavus, we talked about it here, is that people just talk too much. Not even Dvarim Asurim. He says, you can't go wrong being quiet. You will never regret it.
Maybe that's why the mouth is also for eating. So while we're eating, at least we could be a little quiet. It's busy.
But you see, something like that has to be explored. Why the mouth has seemingly two unrelated functions. So it can't. So the Maral would, of course, say, well, there's no way they're unrelated. Like, of course they're related, and we have to figure out how they're related.
How eating and speaking.
How eating and talking are related. It has to be, it just doesn't make sense. Hashem didn't decide, okay, you know, when it comes to the mouth, I'm going to be a little efficient. I'm not going to create an aver for eating and an aver for talking. I'll go two for one.
Right,
buy one, get one free.
Nothing else has two functions.
Right. So it must be that the in Ruchnius, they're related. In Ruchnius, they're related. I don't know offhand what, but I'm sure the Maral talks about it in his Sefer. But you can think of something, I'm sure. B'chilik also chilik mavuar, and Hashem made everything. B'shemahu romez olav, umora olav. And it points you to Hashem. That's the main thing, is it points you to Hashem. Kasher Torah hamalacha al osa, just like a finished product always points to the maker of the product. V'habaniya al bone. Okay, we'll stop here. I'm sorry. I don't know. I got to feel better.